Welcome back to the program. Back in 2011, a British businessman by the name of Neil Haywood would be found dead in a hotel room in China. The reverberations of that would reveal both corruption and layers of conflict within the Chinese Communist Party. It's a story that gives us some unique insight into a society and a political system often cloaked in enigma and mystery. We're going to talk about this today with my guest, Wang Wang. He's a writer, journalist, and translator. His articles and translations have been published in the Wall Street Journal, the Chicago Tribune, and the Paris Review, and he's the co-author of a new book entitled The Death in the Lucky Holiday Hotel, Murder, Money, and an Epic Struggle in China. Wang Wang, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great to have you here. Let's go back to 2011, to November of 2011, and the discovery of Neil Haywood's body. Talk a little bit about the events surrounding that.
Neil Haywood was a British businessman. You know, in China right now, there were many, many foreigners who ended up in China. They became business consultants. And what they did was to building a bridges between Western Chinese companies and then try to help with communication, provide the cultural consultancy. That was what Neil Haywood did. And then he was in a very unique case, in a unique position, because he had very close contacts with one of the senior leaders of China, a very influential political star called Bo Xilai. Bo Xilai was a princeling. His father was used to be a senior leader under Mao Zedong. So he himself was the party chief of China's mega city of Chongqing. Because of this connection, Neil Haywood was able to build a small business for himself. And then he got into some dispute with the party chief's wife. And on November 13th, 2011, the wife invited him over to Chongqing and saying they wanted to have a conversation to discuss some future business opportunities. So he flew over to Chongqing, had a drink with the party chief's wife, and 2 days later, the hotel's cleaning staff found that Neil Haywood was dead in his hotel room. And since there were so many foreigners in China, and his death pretty much went unnoticed in the media, and also the Chongqing Police Department that persuaded his wife, who was a Chinese national, to have the body cremated without an autopsy. And so the case pretty much was just settled, and then nobody knew about it until 3 months later. That was how this whole story built up to a whole book, because nobody knew that the death of a British businessman would trigger a terrible, one of the biggest political earthquakes in contemporary Chinese history. And they almost derailed the leadership succession process later in 2012.
One of the things that gives us a little insight into this whole process, and there are so many things that do, is that if you look at the business that Neil Haywood was in, this development project, that on the surface it appears like any ordinary business transaction, but not quite when you see how it plays out in Chinese society.
Exactly, because right now in the Chinese, a lot of people, they were doing business in China. It is very important to have political connections and so that you can get a permit. And sometimes by obtaining these permits from government officials, and you have to bribe the officials. And Neil Haywood was involved in this project because of his connections with the party chief's wife. And after he was involved in this project, and then, of course, he had to do a lot of things for the party officials, and he started to take on the task of transferring money overseas. As you know, many Chinese officials right now, they have accumulated a lot of money, and probably from bribery, and then they don't feel very safe in China, and they want a foreigner or somebody else to transfer the money overseas. In this way, they could the money will be securely put away. And Neil Haywood was deeply involved in some of the transactions in a certain way that his death was actually not directly related to economic transaction, but more or less because he knew too much about the political inner workings. And, you know, knowing too much in China can be a dangerous thing, too. And then they felt like he was a threat. So.
Talk a little about the wife, about Gu Kai, and what she represented. She was kind of a cutting-edge lawyer in China.
She was. She was very smart and a very attractive woman. Her father was a very famous military general who actually led the troops to fight Americans during the Korean War in the 1950s. But during the Cultural Revolution, her family, her parents, they were persecuted, like many other senior officials who had lost favor with Mao. And she and her four sisters, they were left without parents, and then his sisters were sent to work in the rural areas. And then at a certain point, Gu Kailai worked as a butcher. But she was very smart. In 1977, after Mao died and after the new leaders started to initiate economic reforms, and she went back to Beijing University and then got a degree in political science and law. As you know, during the Cultural Revolution in the 1960s, China abolished the legal system, the lawyer system. And in the early 1980s, they restored the system. And she was one of the first group of lawyers who passed the Chinese bar and set up her own practice. She even came over to the United States and represent a Chinese company in copyrights, intellectual property rights issue, and she actually won the case. And she wrote a popular book about it and became a bestseller about how to win a lawsuit in China. She criticized the American legal system for being very cumbersome. She used the O.J. Simpson trial as an example. Mm-hmm. Just to show how corrupt the American legal system is and how efficient the Chinese legal system is. Basically, what she's saying, if somebody killed a person, if according to the Chinese, they would convict them very, very swiftly because you already had the evidence there. And, you know, things like that. And little do we know that after about 15 years later, she herself became the victim of the swift Chinese legal system. When with her murder trial, they actually only used 7 hours to convict her and then give her the suspended death penalty.
What do we know about the relationship as it had evolved over time between Gu Kailai and Neil Hayward?
Their relationship has been very complicated and also much speculated on, because when Neil Hayward knew that Gu Kailai was in the UK because she wanted to send her son to study in a prestigious elite school over there. So Neil Hayward traveled to London and met with her, and the two established a very good relationship because Neil Hayward offered to take care of her son when she went back to China. So once they got closer, and then Gu Kailai really liked Neil Hayward, and then she introduced him to several important business people. That's why there's been speculation that she and Neil Hayward might have some affairs. But we have not been able to substantiate this rumor. But either way, and they've been very close. And through her, and Neil Hayward was able to meet many important business and political leaders in China, which was very helpful to Neil Hayward's business in China. So in this way, the two of them were very close. And also in later years, when Neil Hayward was involved in a big project, but the project later on fell through, and Neil Hayward felt like he himself had put so much time in the efforts, he was not compensated. So he demanded compensation and then talked with Gu Kailai and also her son, asking them to pay him some money because he himself was in a very difficult financial situation. So it was because this triggered the subsequent conflict.
Where does Bo Xilai fit into this story?
Right now, it's like Bo Xilai and claimed that he was not aware of what is going on. But we know that in China, everything is so politically connected. And then Bo Xilai had to know about this because he himself must have introduced Haywood to many people, because also Haywood, some of the business deals also benefit Bo Xilai. We have also received information that Bo Xilai was so proud of Neil Haywood because he felt like he knew a real British gentleman and who knew so much about Britain and who was very well connected in Britain. And so he even introduced Neil Haywood to the current party chief of China. And so you could tell that this is all very intricately linked in this whole deal.
Talk a little bit about where he was in his political career. He was about to become a member of the Politburo. He was essentially the mayor of this region. Talk a little about his political career.
Bo Xilai has been a very, very promising political star in China. As I mentioned earlier, that he came from a very prestigious revolutionary family. His father had fought with Mao during the Civil War and was very well regarded. But during the Cultural Revolution, his father lost power. And then Bo Xilai, just like his wife Gu Kailai's family, he lost the protection. He and his siblings, they wandered around the streets and had a very hard life. And then later on, they were locked up in this red concentration camp, which means a farm for all the children of senior leaders. And he was forced to do physical labor and then study Chairman Mao's works and, you know, to go through the brainwashing process. But after the Cultural Revolution, he himself was able to pull the whole thing together and then went to Beijing University, the best university in China, and got his degree in history. And later on, he volunteered to start at the beginning. He became a county chief in a very remote part of China and then worked his way up to be the mayor of a northeastern coastal city. And he did a lot for the city because he was very charismatic and was very well-loved by people because, for example, in the city where he was the mayor, he initiated this extensive environmental programs. And also he initiated programs that benefit ordinary people. And that's why his populist approach was very, very well received by the Chinese public. And later on, he was moved to Chongqing, the largest city in China with 32 million people. And he initiated the programs which we consider neo-Maoist programs. Because as you know, in China right now, because of the economic reforms, there is this disparity between rich and poor and the degradation of the environment and the rampant corruption, which is really, really raised a lot of public resentment. And Bo Xilai knew that the best way to win popular support was to initiate some of the Maoist programs, toughen on crimes, and then he initiated a lot of the social welfare programs, like low-cost housing for people, and social security benefits. So he was very popular. But his left brand, this brand of leftist programs, made the people in Beijing very nervous. They felt like he was ready to seize power from the future communist leaders. And also he was very blatant. Of course, he was very flamboyant, and he would make remarks that made people very nervous. And he would say the current Communist Party leader is so incompetent. Or he would, you know, these remarks, when they reached the ears of these senior leaders in Beijing, they made very nervous. So in the end, the death of Neil Haywood actually gave them the perfect excuse. I mean, them means the communist leaders in Beijing. Give the senior leaders the perfect excuse to get rid of Bo Xilai and to convict his wife.
Talk a little bit about the way it was perceived by the leaders in Beijing and by the public at large in terms of his responsibility, his connection to what happened regarding his wife and Neil Haywood.
When the case was leaked out, by the way, can I add one anecdote? After the death of Neil Haywood, people thought the case was completely settled. Everything would disappear. And in the words of the police chief saying that Neil Haywood would now ascend to heaven and nobody will know about it. But 3 months later, there was a police chief of Chongqing who handled the investigation. He suddenly showed up at the American consulate in Sichuan province, and he sought political asylum. And also he made the startling claims that Neil Haywood's death was caused by the Chongqing party chief's wife, Gu Kailai. And he said he had evidence to show that Gu Kailai murdered Neil Haywood. These allegations just came as a total shock to the Chinese public. Of course, the American consulate did not grant political asylum to the police chief. And he later on turned himself over to the police in Beijing. So when the allegations came, the people could not believe that Bo Xilai or Gu Kailai, these power couples, they would be involved in the murder case, which is so unimaginable to them. But once more and more details leaked out, and then the public still found it hard to believe, even now there are still a lot of Bo supporters. Each time during the festivals or during any the protest, some people would use the opportunity to hold up slogans saying, "We love you, Bo Xilai, and you are the people's party chief." So the public was really, they felt like he himself was framed, and then they believed that the senior leaders were just using the case to overthrow him and to remove him from public office. But to the senior leaders, they do feel like Bo Xilai is a very corrupt leader. He was very closely involved in the cover-up of Neil Haywood's murder. They felt like the whole corruption deals, he himself was a hypocrite. And on the one hand, he was asking the police to crack down on corruption, but he himself has taken bribes and embezzled public money.
At the time the murders took place, what do we know about the relationship between Gu Kailai and Bo Xilai? What was their marriage like at that point?
By the time that Neil Haywood was murdered, and then the relationship between Gu Kailai and Bo Xilai was actually on the rocks, because for a couple of reasons. First, Gu Kailai suffered terrible mental problems. She was suffering from a mild to moderate schizophrenia, and also she was having depression. And one time she even suspected that Bo Xilai's ex-wife had tried to poison her. So she herself had some mental problems. On the other hand, Bo Xilai had some womanizing issues, and there were many, many rumors and stories about Bo Xilai's womanizing activities. For example, she had an affair with a news anchor, with a film actress. So their marriage was actually on the rocks, but they tried to project this image that they were a very close couple. But right now, from the stories we have heard, that their marriage was not that great. And that's the reason that Gu Kailai started to spend more time with the police chief and with Neil Haywood. That's what the speculation is all about. They feel like Gu Kailai must have an affair with Neil Haywood or with the police chief, but we don't have any information to substantiate the claims.
What do we know about what was put forth in her trial as the motivation for the murder?
In the trial, in Gu Kailai's trial, and she portrayed herself as a desperate mother who was trying to protect her son, because in the trial, she told the court that Neil Haywood had threatened her son, because Neil Haywood, when he was in London, he met her son and asked for compensation. At one point, Neil Haywood actually held her son in the apartment against his will, and then detained him there for several hours. So that was how she portrayed herself as this, you know, a mother trying to protect her son. But many of the friends, they did not believe that Neil Haywood would threaten her son. The most important thing that we believe now is partially is because Neil Haywood might have known too much about the family, and then she was worried that Neil Haywood might have leaked information to the press and would jeopardize her husband's chance of joining the highest decision-making body in Beijing.
Why would Neil Hayward do that? It would certainly, the higher he rose, the better his contacts and the better it was for him as a businessman.
I think that Neil Hayward was in a very desperate financial situation, and then he felt like he had these connections for the past several years. He had not been able to benefit too much or profit too much because he spent so much time on this project, and then he was not even compensated. But from the emails we have received, that it did not look like that Neil Hayward was really threatening her son. That's how we came to the conclusion in the book that the police chief in Chongqing, who was in charge of handling the case, he might have exaggerated the threats, because to him, he had some of his political motives too. He wanted the police chief's wife to kill Neil Hayward. And in this way, he could use this, the death of Neil Hayward, to blackmail the Chongqing party chief, because he himself wanted a promotion, and he was afraid that if anything happened, if the police party chief wanted to abandon him at a certain point, he would have something to protect himself. So we felt like the rumors or the court sayings about how Neil Hayward threatened her son was greatly exaggerated, and then the perpetrator himself was the police chief.
Talk a little bit about the dangers that this posed for the leadership in Beijing, because in some ways it seems like they would have benefited, as you talked about before, from Bo Xilai being out of the picture, that this was the perfect opportunity to move him out.
Right. In a way, the Neil Hayward's death was a win-win situation for the Communist Party leader, because on the one hand, they successfully used the Neil Hayward's death to remove Bo Xilai, who was a political threat to them, especially before the leadership transition. And it was a successful story, a successful move on their part. On the other hand, they used Wang Lijun, the police chief, to kill Neil Hayward. And because Neil Hayward has long been suspected as a British spy, so they felt like it was a win-win situation. But on the other hand, it was also caused a lot of problems for the senior leader, because when they put these people on trial, the public could see the rampant corruption, the amount of money they have bezzled. So it really dented public's confidence in the Communist Party. And also because the Gu Kailai trial was conducted so hastily, and the public didn't feel like the victims of Gu Kailai himself got a fair trial. In this way, the public started to become dissatisfied with China's legal reforms and legal system. So you can see that on the one hand, they felt relieved that Bo Xilai was out of the way, but on the other hand, they were also nervous that there was public resentment when they heard all these sordid stories about the power struggles, and then it could really undermine people's faith in the Communist Party.
What does this story ultimately reveal to us that we didn't know previously about some of the conflicts and fissures within the Chinese Communist Party?
I think that's the purpose of our book, is we're trying to use the Bo Xilai case to tell the Western audience or Western readers about the inner workings of the Communist Party. For years and years, they operate in secrecy. And the Bo Xilai case has really opened up a crack for us to see through, to see what is going on there. It is really not a very pretty picture. And then, you know, there's intense power struggle there, because the political system does not allow fair competition. And also, we can see the rampant corruption in China right now, from the small village chief all the way to a provincial party chief, and all the way to a senior leader within the upper echelon of the party. There is rampant corruption. And because when American businesses, when they go to do business in China, you can see how hard it is to navigate the political waters. And also, it points to the need of real political reforms. If the Chinese Communist Party does not change, if they don't allow the independence of the media and then judicial system, and China is facing some dangerous situation, because there could be this Bo Xilai, the Communist Party might feel relieved that Bo Xilai is out of the picture, but there will be more Bo Xilai, and there will be more the police chief who would go to the American embassy, and sooner or later it could collapse, and then these more political earthquakes could come out of China, and more political scandals could emerge in China.
How does the public respond to these stories of corruption?
I think that right now the corruption is becoming a very critical issue in China, and that's why the new leader, his first priority is to handle corruption, and then several high-profile Communist Party leaders have been convicted during the past 3 or 4 months. This just shows the public really, really feels very strongly about the parties. The corruption issues really get to the public mindset, and then there were a lot of group incidents or protests that's been going on in China. Most of them are related to corrupt government officials, that's why the Chinese public feel very nostalgic about the Mao era. That was the reason why Bo Xilai was able to initiate a lot of the Mao era programs like tough on crimes, white social programs, because in response to this public resentment.
Talk a little bit about what's left to play out in this story.
Right now, we are waiting for the trial of Bo Xilai. And then for a while, there was rumors that Bo Xilai was going to be put on trial very soon. But it looks like that we have to wait for a little longer, because it shows that the different party factions, they cannot agree on Bo Xilai's crimes. And it also shows that the senior leaders, they are very nervous about the trial. If they have an open trial, the public would be able to access lots of information about the party, about the corruption, and about the power struggles. And they do not want the public to know. But if they hold the trial in secret, and then the public become more suspicious, they wouldn't believe that Bo Xilai did anything wrong. So the public the parties right now is in dilemma. And sooner or later, I think they want this whole thing to cool off a little bit before they're going to put him on trial. Might be in a semi-open situation. They would select a few government officials, a few members of the media and the public, and then conduct the trial very quickly. But one thing is for sure, that his guilty verdict would await for him. But, you know, at this point, the new leaders, they have already started to move on. And they have adjusted to the absence of Bo Xilai. And to them, it's no longer critical. But to the reputation of the party, they have put on another show. So we'll just have to wait and see.
What about the British? How have they responded to a British citizen being at the center of this?
I think throughout the whole process, and the British government has been very low-key, they did not make any big issues out of the Haywood murder. So that's how a lot of people start to suspect there was something going on there. And that's how people believe that Neil Haywood might have being a British spy. But right now, from what we have heard and from what's been reported in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, we know that Neil Haywood had probably provided information to MI6 in the UK, but there is no information to suggest that he himself was a professional spy, but he certainly had provided information. And also, he had been on the radar of the Chinese Public Security Bureau for years. They tried to monitor him. So under normal circumstances, you would assume that the British government would raise a lot of issues and raise a lot of questions about Neil Haywood's death, because he was a British citizen. But their reticence or their silence make people really think that there is something going on there.
Wang Wang, his book is A Death in the Lucky Holiday Hotel, Murder, Money, and an Epic Power Struggle in China. Wang, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.